This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and let's get everyone moving here on a lazy summer Monday, and I mean you.
From now on, you're Private Snowball. Do you like that name?
Yes, sir!
The voice of a Marine Corps drill sergeant from the movie Full Metal Jacket. Classic, insulting, toughening, demeaning, very male. By January of 2016, though, all of the services are going to have to fully integrate men and women into combat roles. That means women are going to have to be hearing something like this in training, and that's happening right now.
You little scumbag! I got your name! I got your ass! You will not laugh! You will not cry! You will learn by the numbers! I will teach you! Now get up! Get on your feet!
More than 230,000 women need to be combat ready. Here's former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta.
Our purpose is to ensure that the mission is carried out by the best qualified and the most capable service members, regardless of gender and regardless of creed and beliefs. If members of our military can meet the qualifications for a job, and let me be clear, I'm not talking about reducing the qualifications for the job. If they can meet the qualifications for the job, then they should have the right to serve.
And perhaps another way of saying that is...
Sir, yes, sir!
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved Corps?
Sir, to kill, sir!
So you're a killer?
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face!
The Air Force is the most integrated of the military services, with 99% of positions open to women. The United States Special Operations Command is the least integrated. And the beloved Corps, the Marines, are just above that, with only 67% of positions open to women, according to a July 2015 report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office to congressional committees. Since January of 2013, the Army has been the most effective ground combat service in opening positions to women. As of March 2015, more than 68,500 roles had been opened. The Marine Corps has the fewest positions open at just 6,000. The services have some discretion here. They can opt to keep certain positions closed to women based on performance, and the Department of Defense has no plans to continue monitoring the service's integration efforts after January of 2016. Lieutenant Colonel Kate Germano was a commanding officer of the 4th Recruit Training Battalion at Marine Corps Recruit Depot at Parris Island, South Carolina. She believes passionately in achieving parity between men and women in combat when she was dismissed from her post at the end of June. Lieutenant Colonel Germano had ramped up efforts to improve the performance of female recruits, recognizing the time pressure before the 2016 deadline for integration. Female candidates were, she says, performing far below their male counterparts all across disciplines. She says commanders were tolerating it, so she got tough. And she says getting tough is what got her fired. At the end of June, the commander of Parris Island, Brigadier General Terry Williams, removed her from command, saying he had lost trust and confidence in her ability to lead. But Lieutenant Colonel Kate Germano says the Marines either don't want to meet the 2016 deadline or they aren't taking it seriously.
I would start off by saying, obviously, I'm speaking on my own behalf, and my view doesn't necessarily represent the official Marine Corps position. But based on my experiences over 19 years, both on recruiting duty and then at the recruit depot, mainly what I've seen is that there's a philosophy of sort of the soft bigotry of low expectations and a benevolent sexism, if you will. Betty Friedan once said something about, you know, women shouldn't expect special privileges because of their sex, but nor should we just accept discrimination. And I think, unfortunately, with a combination of those two things in the Marine Corps, that leads to bad things.
So what it leads to is a sense that women don't have to be as tough as men in the Marine Corps because men are, for one reason or another, loath to push them.
I think that, and then even worse, because we're putting women in combat, I think the other perception is that there should be an expectation for lower performance right off the bat for women. I think that if you look at the caliber of women that we are enlisting today, you will find that perhaps changes need to be made in how we are recruiting them. And then we need to adjust the training standards and requirements. And I think if you focused on the recruiting and the training aspects, it would be very productive both for the Marine Corps and also for the nation.
So what did you do to try to address this question in your own command at the women's boot camp at Parris Island?
One of the first things that I did when I got to Recruit Depot Parris Island was I assessed the effectiveness of my command. And what I found was that our responsibility was to make every female enlisted Marine in the Marine Corps. It's the only place where female enlisted Marines are trained. And when I looked at the statistical data from the previous decade on how the female recruits had performed, what I found was that in almost every instance, they had underperformed compared to their male counterparts. And there are three other male recruit training battalions on the recruit depot. The males, their battalions are located on the depot in close conjunction to each other. And obviously, male recruits see each other all day long, and they at times interact with each other. The females, the Marine Corps has always prided itself on having segregated training, and they don't like to call it segregated training for good reason, but they have always had separate training facilities for women. And my battalion was in an area of the depot that was well far away and very removed from the male battalions. And so it's not that the language and the conduct of the drill instructors isn't aggressive as it is with the males, as much as the difference is that there is such a distinct line in the sand between males and females throughout training.
How did you try to address that? And when did you first begin to realize that you were really ruffling some feathers up the chain of command?
So the first hike that I did was for the Crucible. And the Crucible is sort of the culminating event for a recruit's experience. It's the event that they're required to participate in for about 2 days with very little food, very little sleep. And it's designed to test them and test all of the knowledge and skills that they've gained, hopefully, through the recruit training process right before they earn their Eagle, Globe, and Anchor and become Marines. And what I found during that first hike was that the females conducted the Crucible completely separate from the males, but we also hiked by ourselves to the same location where the males would meet us for the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor ceremony. I had clocked using a GPS the distance of the hike that we were conducting, and it ended up being shorter than the requirement that was in our directive for the conduct of the Crucible. And I also thought that it was inappropriate that we were completely separate, because when you become a Marine, which is at the ceremony at the end of the Crucible, the very location where we link up with the males, that should be not the first time the males and females have stood next to each other during recruit training, in my opinion.
So you would want women and men to be side by side so that if there is a disparity in performance and physical conditioning between men and women, that women would see that and push themselves to equalize that, and similarly men would do the same.
Absolutely. And I firmly believe that to be the case, knowing my own performance on the physical fitness test. If I see someone in front of me, it doesn't matter if they're male or female. I'm going to run faster and I'm going to push myself further. And unfortunately, when you're only training with females and the females who are being recruited are not in as good a shape, comparatively speaking, as their male counterparts, generally, you're only going to push yourself to the limit that you see the other females that you are training with push themselves. And so I think we're setting ourselves up for failure right from the get-go if we expect, one, the Crucible to be segregated, or two, the Crucible hike to be integrated, and that's the only training event that we have in the 13-week process that is integrated.
Now, let's talk about some specific instances. Do you believe that the women in your command turned on you at a certain point?
I believe that there was a specific group of Marines who were not receptive to change and did not like my leadership style. And when we talk about the concept of sort of benevolent sexism, my problem with that is that what I saw was that the senior leadership was very, very willing to step up for those individuals as sort of protectors without looking into the totality of the circumstances. And so I was told I was too aggressive, I was too blunt, I was too direct, and that I sounded pompous when I offered advice on recruiting, despite the fact that I had been there twice and I was very successful. And I, in my career of 19 years, what I found was that my counterparts would not be told those things.
Have you ever heard of a man being told he was too direct, too blunt,
no,
too aggressive?
Never.
Do you think that a man who had done the very same thing in your situation at Paris would have been dismissed?
Absolutely not. And I will tell you that my concern, and my experience has been that females, again, tend to circumvent the chain of command to talk about how they perceive problems and issues more so than males do. And so it's a double-edged sword, if you will.
Aren't you sensitive about accusing all women of being sort of whiners and manipulators here in that charge?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if that were the case, I would be insinuating that I was a whiner, and I don't believe I am. What I will say is that 2/3 of my Marines were incredible. I would actively seek to work with them again. I was very, very sad to have to leave them, and I felt like it was a work interrupted because we were on the path to doing such amazing things. But I will also say, after 19 years in the Marine Corps, I have seen the stellar performers who are completely dedicated to the concept of being a gender non-specific Marine. And I've also seen the opposite, and that's what concerns me about this topic.
What's your relationship with Colonel Jeffrey Foltz?
He's the chief of staff at the Recruit Deep. I really don't have a relationship with him.
Because I want to run by a quote from the New York Times. He says, this whole thing started when her Marines, her female Marines, were telling us they were being mistreated. She was telling them their male counterparts will never respect them if they don't get good physical scores, and you just don't do that. What's he saying here? I can't quite figure that out.
I can't quite figure it out either. What I can say is that what I would tell both my Marines and my recruits is that if you're running in the back of the pack and you're senior to your Marines and you're expected to lead them, then if they're all running past you, you're going to have a hard time demanding of them what you're not demanding of yourself.
So on the battlefield, you're not going to be able to function, ladies, if you don't prove to these men that you're not wusses. That's sort of the principle here, right?
I would say if you take the metric of shooting and qualifying on the range, it's a perfect allegory to that. When I got to 4th Battalion, one of the most disturbing statistics that I found was that our female recruits for over a decade had underperformed on the rifle range to the point where approximately 1/3 of each class was going unqualified. This was compared to their male counterparts of less than 5 to 6%. And this was every single time we went to the rifle range. And every Marine is expected to be a rifleman. That's our slogan. And yet we weren't seeing that with the female recruits. And so by working towards improving our rifle range scores, we were able to improve the credibility of those individuals and make them more combat effective. And in just about a year, we were able to go from an average qualification rate on the depot for females of between 68 to 72% all the way up to almost 92% just by demanding more from them.
Based on your experience, what's the thing you most fear happening if after 2016, in the integration scenario, men and women are in combat together and, you know, things sort of unravel? What's your worst fear based on what you've seen?
To be frank with you, my worst fear is that we won't even get to that point. My worst fear is that the women in the Marine Corps who do desire to go into combat arms fields will be waived from the ability to do that because the Marine Corps will go into the Secretary of Defense in January of 2016 and say that we're going to ask for a waiver.
So then you're saying that the Marines are setting women up to fail.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's a lot of data being put together right now, and that data tends to focus on physical fitness. But again, it's the tail wagging the dog. If you think about it from the perspective of who we are recruiting actively and how different the caliber of applicant is on the whole, females compared to males, I think what you'll see is unless we fix what's happening before they get into the training pipeline and improve their physical fitness and their mental strength, we are going to struggle to get to a point where the data would say or show women are capable of filling these combat arms roles.
Then, just I'm going to come at this again, it sounds like the Marine Corps, for one reason or another, has created a situation where it's going to be a fait accompli, where they're basically assembling a case to say women don't belong in combat by deliberately lowering the bar for recruits and then training and then maintaining segregation. Is that a fair characterization of your experience?
I think it will be really interesting to see what happens in 2016.
Lieutenant Colonel Kate Germano is a former commanding officer of the 4th Recruit Training Battalion at Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Parris Island. South Carolina. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Here's what the Marine Corps told us when we reached out to them. In response, Colonel Jeffrey W. Fultz, Chief of Staff at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot that oversees Parris Island, said, quote, "We expect our leaders, women and men, to accomplish the mission while taking care of their people. Being overly aggressive and creating a harmful or toxic environment is never acceptable." Lieutenant Colonel Germano was relieved due to a loss of trust and confidence in her ability to serve in command following numerous formal and informal complaints from her Marines, officers and enlisted, not recruits, and a command investigation. The investigation substantiated Lieutenant Colonel Germano abused her authority and lacked the ability to maintain the working relationship required to effectively lead. The decision to relieve a commander is never taken lightly, but in this case it was deemed necessary. Our people, Marines and recruits, deserve a constructive command climate that fosters good order and discipline.